Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. So we're going to be launching a brand new series over the next couple weeks. We're launching it tonight, and we'll go, this series will run for the next couple of weeks. But tonight I want to speak to you just for a few minutes, 20 to 25 minutes, from the subject, Be Astonished. If you're taking notes tonight, you can write that as your title, Be Astonished. It's from the series, Mary and Bright. That is the title of the series, Mary and Bright. We all know that astonished, if you were to look that up in the dictionary, we all know that that means to be greatly surprised or impressed or amazed. But some of the ones that I liked as I was looking on down, it means to be stunned, taken back, dumbfounded, speechless. I like this one as if you're looking at something remarkable or extraordinary. Everybody say, be astonished. And like I said, Christmas time to me is one of the most one of the most awesome times of the year. I mean, when I'm detailing cars, specifically over the past couple weeks when we were in the 30s or 40s, I'm trying to get the numbers down there, y'all. I really am, but I think it was probably 40s. I actually went out there to play in the water detailing cars early in the morning in the 40s, and I had Christmas music playing. I mean, we weren't even into Thanksgiving yet, but it was just like something about the cold weather, and I was like, I can do this. I'm gonna make it like really be awesome, you know, out there in the cold. And I had layers on, but by the end of the afternoon, I started peeling the layers off, listening to Mariah Carey, Christmas, and all that other stuff. How many enjoy Christmas music? I love everything about Christmas. You don't like Christmas music? No, okay. She's like, okay, whatever. She's like, I'm not answering anything you say. I love Christmas lights. I love Christmas candy. I love Christmas presents. I love Christmas trees. I love Christmas decorations. I love everything about Christmas. One of my most favorite things about Christmas is the classics. When I say classics, I'm talking about the movies, the TV movies. This is the time of season where Amy and Ansley put our TiVo DVR machine to the test. Whatever the capacity is, they try to max that thing out. Y'all know what I'm talking about, all the Hallmark, Lifetime movies. It's the only time of the year that I will actually sit down and watch that stupid stuff. And I say stupid, I'm the stupid idiot for crying, because I mean, you sit down and watch some of that stuff. Y'all know y'all do. Guys, y'all, Bobby, I know you, but not me, man. I'm not watching that. You watch Hallmark? You know, not at all. Well, sometimes you got to do what she wants to do, so later you can do what you want to do. Okay. Oh, that was supposed to be for Friday night's message. I'm so sorry. Okay, anyway. But some of the classics that I like, I brought a few pictures with me tonight. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I'm talking about the original Rudolph. That he looks like glass, like that in the Abominable Snowman. That was one of my favorites. Like, I will sit down and watch that. It brings back all kinds of memories. Huh? Bumble. Is that his name? I can't remember. I ain't been able to see it in 11 months. I can't remember. The next one is Frosty the Snowman. I love Happy Birthday. Y'all remember the original Frosty? Y'all don't look at him like I'm crazy. He's like, he's lost his mind. I love Frosty the Snowman. Oh, and you can't have a Christmas without How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Of course, you have the animated version, or flip the next one, or of course, you have the Jim Carrey version. Both are great movies. And you can't have a Christmas without a Christmas Elf. How many enjoy the movie Elf? That is, if you want a hilarious evening at home, watch Elf. And then, of course, my favorite of all time, you know it as Home Alone. Home Alone 1. Maybe two, and then as they start working it, they really work too hard, but there is nothing, there is no greater Christmas movie than Home Alone 1, and I didn't get the picture, but everybody watches, I don't know, we in church, y'all may not, The Christmas Story, is that the one with the Red Rider BB gun and the lampshade? I mean, you gotta watch that movie. I mean, the little kid with his tongue to the, okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch that, because I just look like an idiot right there. Is that Christmas Story? Love that movie. I'm already looking for the dates and times that it comes on, so I can get my, because Amy's already got her list in the DVR. I'm trying to get mine in it to make sure I can that I have some me time with the TVs. But at the center, at the center of all of that, obviously, is the Christmas story. And I should be one more picture there, Angela Grace. At the center of all of that is the Christmas story. And the reason that I like the Christmas story is because there is no story like the Christmas story. I had a phone call yesterday, and somebody called me. They're not actually here tonight, but maybe they didn't like what I was speaking on. I don't know. But they called me and said, "Hey, what you speaking on?" And I said, "Well, Christmas." And because, you know, we are coming around the Christmas holidays. But so tonight, that's what we're going to do. And but this is something I want you to consider, that the Christmas story, and you can write this down, the Christmas story changed everything for everyone. At that moment, the Christmas story that we've read over and over and saw all the plays, the Christmas story changed everything for everyone. And something that I want us to consider is the idea this Christmas, starting in 2016, I want us to consider the idea of approaching Christmas this year with a sense of childlike anticipation. Childlike anticipation. Or the Bible refers to it as childlike faith. And I was thinking about when I was younger, we lived in North Carolina. My dad was a pastor at another church, or youth pastor, and a bunch of the kids were going to Six Flags. So I spent the night at the home of the people that I was riding with. And y'all know, y'all remember how it was if you're going to Disney World or Six Flags. The night before, nobody slept. There was all kinds of noises going on in the other room, and we were in our room, in the bedroom, and the parents were hollering at us, "Y'all go to sleep." Don't nobody want to go to sleep. We were ready to load up in the car and wait to ride out. Y'all remember? Well, I did anyway. I was one of those kids. I was like, "Can we go now?" You know, and I remember, but it's called childlike faith. I didn't see the tickets. I didn't even know how we were getting there, but I knew because they said we're going, that we were going to Six Flags. I mean, I didn't care about how much the tickets cost. I didn't care who had the tickets. All I knew was at 6 o'clock in the morning, we was getting in the car and we was riding out to go to Six Flags. Childlike faith. And that's how we need to be about Christmas. And not, you're going to find out real quickly through this message that, and we'll break it up if we need to, but Christmas is the backdrop for what I'm wanting to get across tonight, but I really want it to impact our everyday, because this is the thing. If we don't get it, we in December, it's the last part of the year. If we can get it right in December, if we can grasp a hold of this message in December, when January, February, March rolls around, it'll be smooth sailing. So what is it that I'm challenging us to do? And that is to have childlike faith, to have childlike astonishment right now when we're thinking about the Christmas story. And I know for many of us, that's going to be hard to do. And why is that? It's because the word familiarity, that one always bothers me, doesn't it, Janelle? It always just, I'm looking at you trying to help me with the familiarity. Because it's so familiar to us. We've heard all the messages about Christmas. We've sung all the songs about Christmas. We've watched all the Christmas plays with our kids and the Christmas parade and all the stuff that we're going to be a part of this year. It becomes so familiar that we don't experience what Christmas is really all about. Set aside the real Christmas story about Jesus. Just take the presents, for instance, in the Christmas tree. Like, we put up, in our house, we put up the same. If you'll go back through every one of the years of our Christmas, our tree looks exactly the same. It's the exact same. My child, Ansley, even put on there, hashtag same old, same old. I take a picture every year. It's just a different house. But it's the same tree, and it's the same. It's got the same look. It doesn't even, what I'm trying to say is things become so familiar, it doesn't have the same wow factor. And what I believe that God is wanting us to do at this time, at this point of our life, is to look at the story, the Christmas story, and be astonished. I mean, how many of us really are just completely, what was the word, stunned or speechless over what God did for us? Okay? I just think that it's possible that with all of this going on, all the parades and all the Christmas music and all the messages about the baby Jesus and lying in a manger and silent night, holy night, and all that stuff, we've heard all that so much, it doesn't even affect us anymore. And we wonder why throughout the year we look at ourselves and going, well, church is just okay, and sometimes I'm fed and sometimes I'm not. Let me tell you something. It's never the church's responsibility to feed you. You don't go to a restaurant and ask the waitress to feed you. It's your responsibility to feed you. This is a time for us to equip and become equipped and to learn and to train so that we can go out and share with people about the message of Christ and the message of Jesus. But how many knows that our response to things is contagious? If I'm not astonished, if I'm not completely just blown away by the message, if I try to go share it with someone else, it's going to be like, that's dull. But I've got to be astonished by the word. That's why whenever I have the opportunity to share the word, I want to be enthusiastic because I want you to capture it and go, man, I want to do it the way I want to serve the way he is. I want the word of God to come alive to me the way it's coming alive to him. Are you following me tonight? I want you to want that. And I feel like God is pressing us tonight to be astonished. For me this year, and my family, I've made a personal pact that I want to be intentional this Christmas. And what I'm asking you to do and what I'm challenging you to do is to celebrate the birth of Christ as if you were there firsthand to witness it. Can you imagine what it would have been like to actually be there? To know what... I just got chill bumps and it's like 80 degrees in here. That's the moment. I got it again. That's the moment that it will come alive to you. When you, if I was there, no longer is it the play that we put on in church, but that God in the form of man came. The whole thing was laid out for you and for me. He wants us to be astonished, to be amazed, as if it was the first time you heard it as a child. To experience it with childlike astonishment. That's my goal, and that's the approach that I want us to take tonight and over the next couple weeks as we close in on December 25th. I know. That's not the day that Jesus really was born. But let's don't talk about that. Let's keep Christmas Christmas, okay? I understand that he was not born on December 25th. But what I want us to understand, really? That's like saying, Santa Claus ain't real? Ainsley got her tooth pulled today. Daddy, do y'all still have the hookup with the tooth fairy? It was her last baby tooth, and the dentist pulled me in to let me know, you know, you're supposed to do something big. And I told her on the way home, I said, you can check with mommy. She may still know how to get in contact with the tooth fairy. Daddy don't. Daddy lost his number, got a new phone. But how do we approach Christmas? How do we approach Christmas? This is the question I want to ask you. How do we approach Christmas with childlike faith? How do we do that? I'm 41. You're however old you are. I'm not going to pass the mic around. How do I approach Christmas with childlike astonishment? How do I do that? How do you do that? What's interesting to me is Jesus actually had something to say about how we should have childlike astonishment. If you brought your Bibles, let's go real quickly to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 says this. It'll be on the screen for you. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Stop. I know that sounds like, man, the disciples, the people that Jesus picked, they were jerks. They're trying to block the kids from getting close to Jesus. And they got mad at the parents for bringing them up there. No. What we need to understand is that's the typical attitude in that day and time towards kids. Because everything was about contributing to society. And kids at that time, it's kind of like today, kids at that time didn't contribute much to society. So it was pretty normal. But what I like is Jesus shoots back at them a very countercultural response. And this is it in verse 14. It says, Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Which he had placed his hands on them, prayed for them, and then went on from there. I think it's awesome how we've moved our kids from the back of the room to the front of the room, because it's almost like we put them on the back shelf. Our kids need to learn about what the presence of God is. That's why I encourage you guys to come at some point in our worship to the front, and 'cause there's an anointing up here that you don't feel back there. You may say, I can feel, but there's other people that can be, the enemy will use to distract you. But when you're right here, you can feel the presence of God. And I want our kids exposed to that so they can sense, man, I can't wait. Sure, they can't wait to get back there and do all the cool things they do, but we need to be looking forward to the day when our kids go, man, I can't wait to get into big church so we can worship. That's because that's the heart of Christ. They're not the next church. They are the church. Amen. God doesn't have something in store for them then. Later, He has something in store for them now. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, the way that Jesus is talking about childlike dependency, He's actually encouraging us to become childlike with our trust. Now, if you have children, you understand this. Again, they just trust. Well, in order for us to trust God, we have to know exactly what His agenda is. And all the five steps it's going to take to get there. Well, that's not trust. Matter of fact, that's not even faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we've got to have trust. So what He's saying is we got to be like children. Think about where you are in your life and the things that you're having to trust God with. Do you trust Him like a child trust? Like just openly, like no strings attached, God, I trust You. You hear me say that all the time. God, I trust You. God, I trust You. I think He wants us to be childlike in our dependence for Him. Think about those of us that have kids. Think about when our kids were younger, how they depended on us. You know, they want to snuggle in the morning, get up in the bed and snuggle with you. And they depended on you. Well, I'm learning. We just had our two older girls down from Alabama. They're in school up there. They were here with us. I learned real quick. They're not dependent on daddy. Well, they were when we went out to eat while they were down here. but they weren't. They made it clear, real clear, how old they were. And all that as they walked in the house. You know, when we start laying down the rules and reminding them of how we do things, they shouldn't have forgotten that. But the statements came out, you know, how old they were and those type things. It's funny how the dependency level is so open when they're younger, but as, you know, we did it too. I mean, when we go out to eat with our girls when they were younger, and we wanted them to eat off the kids' menu because it was cheaper. Well, they didn't like that. They didn't like that. Matter of fact, we were at Red Robin. Yum. We took them all out to Red Robin. Taryn's the oldest. Our waitress thought she was the youngest out of all of them. Oh, and they corrected that real quick. And then what I had to jump in and correct was they thought Amy was my daughter too, and I was some dirty old man. I was like, hold on a minute. She was like, I'm digging myself a hole. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, no, you working on taking away your tip is what you're working on. You just need to take my order and go on back to the kitchen because you in way over your head. You don't want to mess with me. But it's so funny how when we were younger, it's like we wanted to be older. You remember what I'm saying? I mean, we enjoyed the dependency at a younger age, but as we were getting ready to cross that threshold of the 13-ish, it's like we stepped over and we know everything now. But what God is trying to get us to do is to go back. And see, you think that's something. Imagine how, if you can remember back that far for some of us, remember how stubborn you were about, well, I'm 13 and a half. I don't have to order off the menu no more. That only got stronger as you got older and as I got older. And what God's wanting to do is to strip that away from us adults who still, well, I'm 41. I'm not going to let somebody tell me how to live and raise my family and what I'm supposed to do and how, da, 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 all that stuff. God's wanting to strip all that stuff away and go, will you just trust me and have childlike faith? Will you just trust me will you depend on me like a child depends on its parents? That's what God is wanting to instill in us. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Okay. I want this Christmas to be different for all of us. I want us to envision and respond to it as if we were there or as if we were hearing it for the very first time. Oh my gosh. That teenager had a baby and there was no activity to cause that to happen. I'm trying to stay right tonight. They didn't have sex. Can you imagine if that really happened? Hot news flash. You would blow up, shut Twitter and Facebook down if that happened today. Virgin, having a baby. Like, how does that happen? God. God. No, that wasn't my response. I was saying it was God. Not, oh my God. No, God. God. So when things happen in your life that you can't explain, you're trapped on the side of a mountain, trapped with a tree, and a power pole comes down, and you're struggling to breathe. Wally can say, God, in your own life, be astonished and have childlike faith. Have you ever thought about how kids really, really have mastered the art of living just the here and now? Like, as parents, we don't have a clue what that means. Like, we're worried about yesterday, tomorrow, next month. You know what I'm saying? But kids have mastered the art of just living in the here and now. I mean, just listen to them talk. Kids are not worried about yesterday. Like, there's no regrets. Yeah, I said it. I did it. Get over it. Like, that's their attitude. A little sassy self. They need a pie. Need a little pow-pow on the backside. They're not worried about tomorrow. If I was to ask many of you here tonight, do you feel stressed out? Do you feel burdened? Do you feel overwhelmed? 99.9% of us in this room can say, yes, stressed out, been out of shape. But kids aren't that way. But what God is saying, he wants us to become childlike, to trust him, to have a dependency on him. Have you ever watched a kid open up a Christmas present? Just stuff going everywhere. It's like, somebody hold the tree down. But then what do we do as adults? We like, real slow. Like, we can't afford wrapping paper. Like, we're going to have to use this again next. I don't think it's even that at all. I think it's, I'm scared about what's in this, and how do I got to put an expression on my face? Like, oh, I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do we do that? Now some of y'all going to be like, I got to make sure I don't do that. They're going to think I'm scared about what's in the present. But what God wants us to do is to be childlike. Stop approaching it. Just dive into every day. Just rip every day apart. Why? Because what he's telling us is every day is a gift. Christmas is a gift. That's where we get the gift giving from. Everybody like, well, that's all satanic, and we're trying to get our eyes off of God and on to presents. God gave us a present. His name was Jesus. If you're getting mad at all the people about putting their minds on gifts, God's the one that instituted gift giving. He gave us a gift. And he wants us to focus every day and rip into our day as if it was a gift. It was a gift. Some of us go, man, I wish my day was like a gift. I wish I could get excited. God wants you to be excited. If you trust him and if your dependency is upon him, there's no reason why we can't respond that way. Are you listening tonight? There's no way. If I completely trust him, it's when my trust isn't in him and I'm fretting about everything else. That tree started moving. I knew it wasn't alive. We start fretting about everything else. That's when our days are like, we just put our head back under the pillow. Oh, God, please, can I just hit snooze? I know when I wake up what I got to face. No, when you know that you're facing it with God, everything's okay. Amen? Jesus is essentially saying, be like a child. Treat every day like a gift. Attack that day like it was a gift. Somebody say, well, why are we talking about this? And we're gonna conclude this portion in just a moment. Why are we even talking about this? There's several places in Scripture that reference or reinforce this idea of childlike faith. Let's go real quickly to James chapter 4, verse 14. It's going to be on the screen. Baby Grace, yeah, there he goes. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Let's look at another one. Talking about, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about, no, it'll take care of itself. Let's look at Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry. Well, I just said that. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There was another translation that says, living faithfully is a large enough task of its own. Let me say that again. Living faithfully, just doing this walk faithfully to God, is a large enough task of its own, to which I say, a freaking man. I mean, that's right. Living every day, just living faithfully, faithful to my wife, faithful to God. That's our portion Saturday night. I hope y'all are coming to the marriage conference. 'Tis the season to be faithful. That's our portion, is faithful. It's important. This day has enough difficulty of its own. But what he's saying is, stay focused on this day. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Just give that to God and anything that happens. And don't focus about tomorrow. Focus on this day. Focus on this day. Why? Because this day is a gift. This day is a gift. And I'm going to stop right there. Where this really gets good is where I was fixing to go. But we're not going to go there tonight. I'm telling you, it's really good. But I'm not going to go. Are you trying to get us to beg? We're like ready to go home. No, I'm not going to get you to beg. I just want you to come back next week and get part two of this Be Astonished. Okay? Because I believe that every time we come in here, it should impact. You can go ahead and bring the. It should impact our lives every time. Every Sunday. We should be getting something that's impacting our life. And this Christmas, I'm talking to me because I've got friends. And they post it all the time on Facebook at Christmas time, how they wake up Christmas morning, they open up the gifts. I'm talking about a pastor friend of mine now. I'm not laughing at him. I'm just telling you, I'm not there. I'm not there. But I'm getting there. They open up their gifts with their kids, and then they all sit around the fireplace, and they read the Christmas story from the Bible. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. That's great. But in my house, things are crazy. It's like busy, 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 busy. Your house, anybody? Anybody's house? Like, We know all about the Christmas story. We know baby Jesus came in a manger and all those things. We know all that. We know it so well that it doesn't even affect us anymore. we're so familiar. Familiarity. Say, if I say it real fast, I can get it out. It's so familiar to us that it doesn't even affect us anymore. Church has become so familiar to us that it doesn't even affect us anymore. Worship has become so effective that it doesn't even bother us. It doesn't even affect us anymore. You just come in and expecting Bradley and Robin and Ansley Grace, the team's going, we're going to worship. You'd expect that it's all going to sound perfect. Oh my God, he sounds like he's got a dead dog in his throat tonight. Things become so familiar to us, it doesn't affect us anymore. And what am I saying? I'm saying, wake up, church. Wake up. If this doesn't shake you up and affect you, you need to check your pulse. I almost said you're dead. No, you're here. Dead man walking, maybe. This Christmas should be the turn. I said it Sunday morning. I don't want what I've walked through and carried. Notice I carried it. God never called me to carry all these things. He wants me to cast my cares upon him. But the stuff that I've chosen to carry, I don't want to carry it into 2017. I'm going to make sure these last few Sundays and these last few Wednesday nights, if I sound like Darth Vader choking a chicken, I'm going to worship. And I'm going to lay it. I don't want the stuff that has had me bombarded. I don't want any of that stuff going into my 2017. Why are you telling us? Because I want you to be the same way. Don't carry the stuff that has had you overwhelmed. Don't carry that into 2017. Then we'll be the same church we were in 2016. And God is saying, don't be the same church. If you're not growing, there's something wrong. Babies, we see them in the, you know, sometimes in the incubator, or they're in the lineup with all the babies in there. We take them home and things start changing. We expect them to grow. God expects the same thing for us. If we're not growing, if there's not change, if we're not growing, getting stronger, We need to be asking ourselves, well, don't blame it on the pastor. Because whatever it is that's in your way, wow, I love how this is tying together. Whatever's in your way, you probably put it there. It's your expectation of it's not happening like I think it needs to. Well, since when have you become God's helper? If there's something stopping you, it's up to you to move it out of the way. You put it there, more than likely. I wish this place was packed out with everybody that shows up on Sunday too, because they need to hear the same message. Because it's probably them that I'm talking to. That's supposed to be done. Bottom line is, we got a few more Sundays to change some mindset, change some perspectives, to focus on the birth of Jesus and be so astonished. Don't let it just come by and not even bother you. Be like the first time you ever heard that it happened. A virgin gave birth to a baby, and it was God's son. Why'd he come? I'm going to get into this next week. Oh, I'm telling you, it's so good. We see the manger scene so beautiful and quiet and peaceful. All is calm, all is bright. There was nothing calm about that night, and wasn't nothing bright. There was a bounty on his head. King Herod was trying to kill all the babies just to make sure he got Jesus. So the story that we painted, why am I saying all that? This is next week, and I had to just tease you a little bit. It's not as clean cut as we have portrayed it to be. It was messy. He was in a stable out back. But when we put the production, we don't see no horse doo-doo and cow stuff. And we don't see none of that. We don't smell none of that. It smells like Glade plug-ins and clean, fresh hay. But what we need to understand is he came. He didn't run. Oh, but I'm God. I'm not coming out. I almost got real graphic. I'm not coming out until the scene is set up right. Oh, what you talking about? I'm not coming to church until all my stuff is right. Let me tell you something. God came in a mess so he can get to your mess. Jesus is not running from your mess. And I'm done. That's all I wanted to say. Jesus is not running from your mess. He came to get messy. He started messy and he ended messy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. God, I feel your anointing in this house. God, I ask that your word would not fall on ears that didn't want to hear it, but God, ears that soaked it up tonight, that our lives would be changed and that we would be astonished and experience you in a way that we never have before this Christmas. And God, for anybody in this house tonight that has a mess on their hands, God, may they hear these words. You're not scared of our mess. You're not running from our mess. You're running to our mess so you can redeem our mess. I thank you that this Christmas season will be unlike any Christmas season we've ever experienced. In 2017, we're going to be astonished, dumbfounded, blown away, amazed at all the things you're going to do in our lives and through our lives. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. If you got a mess tonight, if you're here, you say, man, you don't even know the mess. If my mess had a smell, it would stink real bad. Let me tell you, I don't even know who I'm talking to. I'm not going to get you to raise your hand. Just listen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you got a mess on your hands, give that mess to God. He can handle it. He came for your mess. Matter of fact, he's already addressed your mess through his death and resurrection. He's already addressed it. Why are you hanging on to your mess? But I like the way it feels. It's slimy. It comforts me. Matter of fact, the smell is so familiar, it doesn't even bother me anymore. No, but it's about to worry you to death. Let it go. God's not running from your mess. He's running to your mess. He just wants to know, will you place it in my hands? So God, we do that tonight. We do that tonight. In the name of Jesus, everybody in Forward Church in the house tonight said amen. And praise the Lord.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It is the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It is the most wonderful time. It is the most wonderful time of the mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are so near. It's the most wonderful time. It is the most wonderful time.